for want of right understanding, the whole trouble is there. Well, I gave you no philosophy to discuss, not to draw any inferences, simply common sense stuff, in the child would follow, that all are alike. If you know that our ultimate goal is to know God, love God, and all masters tell us, love God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and love thy neighbor. That is the basic principle by this episode. If simply follow this thing, there's peace in the world. Now, from right thoughts, from right understanding, right thoughts will come, instruct. What are the right thoughts? This is right understanding I will give you. Right thoughts would be that this man body is given to you for a very short time. It does not last long. It is every day, every hour, every minute is bringing us closer to the point when we have to leave the body. And this is the man body alone in which we can know God, and before knowing God, we have to know ourselves. Scriptures tell us God cannot be known by the outward faculties. God cannot be known by the intellect. It is not a subject of thought. Bring all the Upanishads tells us to bring God, the conception of God within the pale of your intellect is as impossible. They give two examples. As by drinking wine you cannot quench the thirst. The second is to squeeze oil out of the sand is impossible. Similarly, this is impossible. How the finite can bring that infinite in its conception, concept. But it's not a subject of thought. Then say there, how can you know God then? He said, by knowing yourself. Who you are, your conscious entities, conscious beings, your spirit and man. Like can alone know the like. So that is why whenever they came, they gave out, know thyself. Upanishads tell us, all other masters who came, they also said the same way. Old Greeks had the same teachings. Gnosis Yoton. Gnosis Ipsum, that is Latin people told us. To know ourselves, who we are we this 5, 4, 5, 6 feet tall body that we are carrying? You say no. We are the enjoyer of the body and we have to leave this body someday. So if you know yourself by analyzing yourself, your mind and outward faculties, you will come to know what is that controlling power which is keeping us in the body. You people generally, what they do, they simply are feeling. They are in feelings. They are in emotions. That is our own make. Either they are just drawing inferences to know what. There should be something, but they have not seen God. So you find that feelings, emotions and inferences, they are all subject to error. Seeing is above all. When masters come, they see and then say. That's the difference. Generally all people say that this level of their feelings or emotions are inferences. Seeing is above. So if you would like to have the truth, we must listen to those who see. And all masters have said the same thing. Christ said, we see and tell to the people that the people believe it not. Other scriptures tell us, well, listen to the words of a saint, because they say what they see. You see the vast difference. So by reading scriptures, you will have, you know, that right thoughts will arise. And the first right thought is, this world is not our home. This is only temporarily given to you and the golden opportunity in which we can know God. But to know God, we must have to know our own self. So this is a matter of self-analysis. When our master says, become the same, they say the same thing. And Guru Nanak tells us, so long as we do not know ourselves, we are under a grand delusion. Really, so we are not seeing what we are, what we are. We are seeing from the level of the man body. Now you see, small child at 3-4 years old, you ask him who you are, what is it? If he sees something, he opens his eyes, he opens his ears, he feels something here. As he grows in years, he is identified with the body. And you ask him who you are, you say, I am Mr. Joseph, I am Miss Catherine. And still further, when he grows more old, he dies in different schools of thoughts, who you are, I am a Christian. I am born you. I am born Mahavish Sathya. And still further, I am Eastern man, Western man, such and such. How far we go away from all of this? So the very, I mean, the, what you say, seeing what the, even the child has, that we have lost. So that is why it is said, suffer little children to come to me, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. They are nearer approach. To see there something else. The very thing that we have to know by self-analysis, they know at the very outset. So it is easier for them to know, to see, rather than a man who has just identified with the body and outward environment so much so that he has forgotten himself. So this is what you find where we stand. So, highest aim before us is to know God, and to know God we must know ourselves. So, it is as I told you, the soul alone that can know God, because light knows the light. Now, the further thing will come, the purpose for which you have joined the various religions is the same. When you become foreign, for instance, at the highest degree of M.A. Master of Arts, you never write M.A. of the Christian College or the Sanatana or the Mohammedan College, you see. Blessed are the school or college in which you join to have that degree, isn't it? So all schools of thought are blessed. All masters have been coming from all, have been coming in all regions. And all have been the same basic teaching. So, blessed is the school or college in which you are joined. And which school you, I think, appreciate, which turns out many students with degrees, isn't it? If there is a school or college, very magnificent buildings, very big halls, very big galleries, and also very good playgrounds, and the dresses of the students are also very fine, and nobody comes out of it without any degree, then how will we appreciate that school or college? You see, similarly, this is what we have to know, you see. There is a golden watch, with diamonds embedded in it. But that watch does not give you time. How will you take it? There is a big well. Around that you have got electric fitting, sofa sets. But that you cannot have any water from the well. Well, similar to the fate of our schools of thought that we have joined, they are made for us, we were not made for them. But we had a matter of course, we have to join some college or school to have our higher degree. So with due deference to all religions, the social bodies, because they are meant to enable us to have that highest degree of knowing God and knowing self-wise. So that is why you find the masters have been giving. So as I told you, our bodies work so long as we are in the body, and we are in the body so long as some power is controlling us in the body. And the result is what? In man's body only we can solve this mystery of life. We can see things in their right perspective, in which we can see and see the right colors. If we know that we have to leave the body someday, God knows when. It has to come after all, maybe after years. Or may come by going out and having an accident. Heart might fail. We are off in the minutes. We may be stabbed, we may be fired. How pitiful. This has been the recently of our budget here. Nobody knows when the end comes. But if we have not solved the mystery of life, where do we stand? So this is the main highest thing that we have to just understand truly. So I have told you we have joined the various schools of thought or religions, the social bodies thereof, and what we do there. We have first of all those values. Somehow God baptism in their own way, their own rites and rituals to make them that. All the same, man is born as a man, not as a Hindu, Christian, Muhammad or anything. It is only after that we are just dubbed, excuse me if I want to use that, you are a Hindu, you are a Muhammadan, you are a this. But these are our schools of thought. So now we are wanted to do in the religions, in the social body, forms of the religions. First of all is to read the scriptures. In whatever religion you are, you've got your own scripture. And what are scriptures? They are the fine records of the experiences what the masters had with God in their lives. And what experience they had by knowing themselves. What things helped them on the way and what things stood in their way. by reading them, we develop an interest in us to have those very experiences, what they had in their lives. Or you might say, past masters are speaking through scriptures. They say they have seen God, they say so. God can be experienced. Man body the highest in all creation. This world is not our home, we have to leave the body someday. These are the things you find. That is why they say, lay by thy treasures in heaven, where no insect or moth will eat. And others say, well, oh man, why are you raising your buildings on sand? How long will they last? Why are you rowing in boats made of paper in a stream? How long will that last? These are the sayings of those who have analyzed themselves, who have just got out of this delusion with the whole, all of us are undergoing. The wise and the unlearned, the rich and the poor, high and low, all are under a grand delusion. You might, I think, understand much better if I give you one example. Our purpose sitting here to understand something. There are 4 or 5 men rowing down in a boat in the stream. So you see, the water is running at the same speed as the boat is flowing down the stream. And those who are sitting in the boat, they are identified with the boat. They are also rowing down at the same speed. One man just steps out of the boat, and what he sees? That his friends are going down the stream. And he cries out of sympathy, oh brothers, you are going down the stream. What they do, they simply look to the water around them and to the boat which they are identified. When two things are just going down at the same speed, they appear to be stationary. So this is a grand delusion in which each one of us is going. Those who have just learnt how to step out of this boat of the mad body, they say everything is changing. And we wonder what do they say. They say, they see and say. So this is the thing what we are trying the various schools of thought. In the various schools, first we read the scriptures. Scriptures do tell us all these things. But reading of the scripture also will give you the right import thereof. Not with those who interpret them at the level of intellect, but those who see. Because the scriptures contain the statements of those who have seen, who have those experiences. So you can read the scriptures, but you have only the right import thereof when you read at the feet of someone who knows the way, who has the same experience. This is the first thing, first step. You find now why there are so many schools of thought. They have got not the right understanding of the right import of the scriptures, what they say. All scripture says there is God. God is light. God is life. God is love. We are the body and soul. We are the spirit in man. We are everlasting. All our souls are under the command of mind and outgoing faculties. We are identified with them. Unless we learn to leave this, liberate ourselves, from these we cannot know ourselves, and unless we know ourselves, we cannot know God. Those who see this say the same thing. The differences are due to the fact those who do not see are, they see some percentage of this. So that is the cause of all so many schools of thought we have got in us. Whenever masters come, they give us the same truth. So this is one. Scriptures can create in us an interest to know God and tell us how to know God. We can have the right import thereof only we learn when we sit at the feet of somebody who knows the way. And further, performance, saying prayers and performance of rites and rituals, they are meant to develop love and devotion in us for God. That's all. These are good actions. They will give good reactions. These are meant for the preparation of the ground, but seeing God is something else. To join in any religion, all these things, they have got their own different forms of rituals, saying prayers. These forms of rituals you'll find differ on account of the climatic influences, sometimes on account of the various customs prevailing in particular countries. But the purpose is the same. I give you one or two instances. If you're born in Arab, those who are born in Arab, there's dust of water. Prophet Muhammad lay down, because there's dust of water, all right, you simply wash your hands, feet and face, and then you can say prayers. And they have made provision even for where there is no water whatsoever, they call it yamun. Just smear your hands and feet with the dust, sit wide awake. That's the purpose. In countries where there is water in abundance, they say, unless you take a bath, your prayer cannot be accepted. The purpose is the same, to sit wide awake, not sleepy when you say prayers, that's all. And there are customs sometimes, they are the cause of difference in various rites and rituals. To go to a church, to sit bareheaded is a sign of respect. And to go to a Sikh temple with the bareheaded, they will say that's a mark of disrespect. The customs are different. Purpose is the same. We must be respectful. So to remain, this is the first part of it. Blessed you are. You have taken this first step, that's all right. Then the further step you have to take, just come out of this delusion. Just liberating your mind from the outgoing faculties and withdrawing your outgoing faculties from outside and analyzing yourself from mind and know yourself and then know God. This is something one and the same, whether you belong one religion or the other. Outer forms of religion have to do with your man bodies. Human bodies. But when you rise above body consciousness, who you are, your conscious entities are the same religion as that of God. Here you realize that you are brothers and sisters in God. All masters have been preaching the brotherhood of man and fatherhood of God. We join various religions only to realize this truth. So Master say, well, know thyself, this is the first step. And what they say further, we must, if we have to learn something, we must sit at the feet of somebody who is adept there. That's all. Suppose you want to become a medical doctor. Well, medical books are already there. You can read them, but you cannot, by reading them, even understand what the medical books say. Unless you come across somebody who has just this system he has gone into, and by anatomy known how the system works, how it is retarded, how diseases arise, how diseases can be studied.
Right.
So whether you belong one religion or the other, that makes no difference. If you want to become a medical doctor, you must go to somebody who is adapted that way. And who should be that? Any A, B, or C? You must have some qualification for that, of course. That is B.Sc., R.F.Sc. degree. If you got that, anybody belonging to any religion can join the medical college. And there he has to sit at the feet of those who are adept, who have just gone into the system of the man body by anatomy. Now mind to which religion he belongs, you see. He may be a Jodo, he may be a Khan, he may be a Hindu, or anybody. All through the course, he has to sit there at the feet. When they come out as full-fledged doctors, they remain even then in their own religion. The science of the soul, our spirituality, it is a subject one for all. So you find similarly other cases, you see. So if you want to know God, we have to sit by the side of somebody who has known God. Those who are feeling, they can only give you feeling. Those who rise in emotion, they'll make you emotionless. So simply arriving at some conclusion by drawing inferences, you can only do that and not see. So seeing is something. If you go to a chemist, he can prepare the prescription, you see, but he cannot prescribe the prescription. If at all he does it, he might give some suggestion given by some doctors. Some may help you, the others may not. So similarly, those who have analyzed their souls from the bodies of mind and matter and outgoing faculties, know themselves and see God as I see you and you see me, and let me see it of this body. Even in the presence of all scriptures with us, we need someone. As I told you, depends on medical books, then you need somebody because that is a matter of anatomy. And it is a matter of self-analysis. That's controlling the outside faculties from the outward enjoyments and further. Liberate our minds from the outward faculties and then come to what? We analyze our own self from the mind, then know ourselves, then we can know God. So this is something, you see. We need, therefore, a man who has just this experience. Call him by any name you like. He is to all intents and purposes, a man like us, with the same two eyes, same outer constellation and the same inner constellation, but yet developed in that way. Only with them we can have the right report of the scriptures, because they contain the sayings of the masters who saw God and gave out.
Good evening and welcome to the Satsang for Master Kirpal Singh. The recording you listened to was the second 30 minutes of an evening talk given at Cowan Heights Ranch on December 12, 1963 in Tustin, California. Our reader this evening is Pradeep Sethi. Hello, Pradeep.
We continue with our reading from the question and answer sessions from the Light of Kirpal, Chapter 44, Death and Protection. Question. His mother has cancer and there is very much suffering, and he asks if there is no other help, can the suffering be lessened by using morphine? Master, I think it is better to let her die consciously, it's better. Otherwise, her consciousness will be morbid, and that will affect her soul. Why not tell her to put all her attention here, at the center eye, and the suffering will be lessened? I think that is best morphine you can have. Write her, let her turn her attention here and pray. She gets help, the suffering will be less. In brackets, 2 years later, the editor met the questioner and inquired about his mother. The mother was written and given master's instructions. From the day she received the letter, the pain began to lessen. There was no need for morphine. She died consciously. I continue with the master's answer. It so happened here in India, a man was suffering on account of cancer. He could not sleep even for a moment. He was fortunately or unfortunately related to me. My brother's daughter was married to his son. She dragged me there and they wanted me to put my hand on him. He said, "Will you help me?" So I was forced to put my hand on him, you see, and all the trouble was relieved. So tell her to put her whole attention here, back of the eyes, and pray. I hope the suffering will be less. To give morphine is not good. She go into a swoon and die while in a swoon. There was one, Abdullah, initiate of Hazur Miamir, who had very excruciating pain. But as he was initiated by Hazur Miamir, he just withdrew and sat therein. He had no pain, but Hazrat Miamir went to him, "Well, you sitting there, why don't you suffer for the reactions you have to undergo? Your mind must be suffering, not remaining in the astral world. So try to bear, you see. If you have risen above body consciousness, the pain is going on. You're not suffering. So to die consciously is always better. Sometimes doctors give morphine which induces swoon. The best remedy is just to have her put her attention here. Doctors do at times give patients morphine, but to die consciously is always better." Yes. Question. If somebody is very sick and is not used to putting his attention over here, Master, well, direct him in the name of the Master. Direct him. Devotee, I didn't follow Master. Master, in the name of Christ, the Christ power, I mean, but don't exert yourself. If he is not an initiate, simply tell him the name of the Master. That will help. Anyone else? Devotee, in the West, many people die unconsciously. as it is very common that they are given morphine. What is the difference between dying consciously and not consciously? In the beyond, I mean, Master, we are talking over this subject only yesterday. The consciousness will be morbid even after leaving the body. If he is not conscious when leaving the body, that does have an effect. To die consciously is all right. To be able to say, I'm going now, is best. Devotee, so there is more of a possibility when somebody dies in this way to come back in a lower form of life? Master, the consciousness is affected. If throughout his whole life he has been attached to material things, he may be reborn with less consciousness. Some children are more conscious, others less. Devotee, I've heard it mentioned many times of the importance of our last thought at the time of dying. Would you speak more on this subject, Master? You see, if you have been accustomed to one thought, a ruling passion in your life, then naturally that will be the last thought with you. Anything which has been ruling your mind will come up. Question, and you go to where your last thought was? Master, yes. If I am adding, if some conscious person is there to direct, that will help. That will help. These are exceptions, of course. Yes. Question, with regards to our families dying, is it better that we go to their bedside while they are dying? I understand that they cannot die if we are there doing Simran, I think. If I understand that correctly, Master, now what did you read, devotee, in Sat Sandesh, in the article Protector and Protection? You said that because you were there, the lady could not leave. Master, oh, because she belonged to Kaal, the negative power. Those who are not initiated are under the control of Kaal, negative power. The angel of death does not dare to enter the place where a man who is entuned to Naam is sitting, unless he first leaves the place. It did so happen in my life in many cases. In one instance, Daleep Singh, treasurer of Savan Ashram, now deceased, was with me at the time. He's a witness. It so happened this woman was very sick. She was not initiated. Her husband was attending her for so many days. On her last day, I came to know that she was sick. She belonged to our native village. I went to her and told her husband, all right, you have been attending her for the last so many days. I will look after her now. You'd better take a rest today. One other man, one lady, and Daleep Singh were there. At about 9 or 10 o'clock at night, the messengers of the negative power, the angel of death, you might say, came to her door, then ran away. Then Dharamraj, the lord of death, came and stood at the door. He said, look here, this is in our province. We cannot take her away unless you leave this room. Now, I told him, you cannot enter. I have been with her for the last 2-3 hours now. Go and ask my master if he permits. He did go away, and when he returned, said, the master has permitted. All right, I told him, I have been with her 3 hours. Will you give her credit for this? All right, she will get full credit for that. Then I asked my friends to leave the room or she wouldn't die. I then sent for her husband. So many rupees are still debited against her. You pay them off to some poor fellows so that she can go. So we left the room. In a few minutes she left. So this initiation is a great boon you have been bestowed. Initiation, you see? In Gurbani, we have got a verse given in Punjabi. Yama is very just, I tell you, very honest, very just. His pen flows according to our actions, good or bad. Yama cannot be controlled by anyone. But if you are in tune with the Shabd, he would not come near the area where that music is being resounded. Why? Because he's afraid that he might be taken to task for that. Again, a verse from Quran is recited in Punjabi. Master, yes, devotee. So my thought was that if you try to bring a member of your family's thoughts towards God in their last hours, Master, pray to your Master to bring their thoughts towards God. Don't take it in your shoulders. This happened in my life, in the time of my Master. I had the habit of attending sick people in hospitals and at their homes. They would say, well, he will come and the pain will be relieved and the trouble will subside. Even the highest fever, 106, 107, will go down to 100. People used to gather when I went to visit the sick. I went by God's grace. I never applied anything, but still by radiation, they were relieved. People complained to my Master, look here, he's showing miracles. He wants to vie with you. A Master told them, he is not doing anything wrong. It's the radiation that works, you see. So we have very great radiation. You are a great rich man. You've got wealth of riches of Naam within you. But you don't utilize your wealth. That's the pity. Master said, no, he does not do healing miracles. It's his radiation that does it, and people make a show saying he will come and all will be healed. Really, I never did anything. Even now, I don't do anything. I simply give the lesson. Sit down, close your eyes, and then I go away. That's all I do. By healing, you exert yourself. Pray like that. Is it not so? When healing is done, you exert. I never do that. At initiation also I say, sit down, please repeat the charge, Simran. And each one has something. It is not I who am doing it, but some power. This was a disease I had. I took it as a kind of disease that I was able to see daily beyond this. Well, something being done in Calcutta. That was like a disease. I prayed to God. It was long before I physically met my Master. Oh God, I pray this disease be taken away. I should behave like all men. Later, when Master used to meet me inside, not physically, I asked, take it away, keep it reserved so I should behave like a man, average man, human being. If any good goes out of me, I should not be aware of it. These things have saved me. So far, I never dreamed that I am doing anything. So really, when I know some power is the doer, why should I take credit? This would be only acting and posing, you see. People consider this a very great privilege to be able to read, foresee future and past. Even if we know we can, we do. One child of mine was sick. I asked my wife, now you name any best doctor you want, you would like to get the child treated so that you may not say later on that we should have done such and such. On that day, I went out to get special medicine to be administered to the child. My eldest brother was by my side. Well, look here, I spoke to my own self. You are deceived. You know he's passing away. This medicine has to be given because you have to pay off. My brother looked at me in surprise. What are you talking about? Well, you see, thy breaths are numbered. Even if you know, what can you do? They have to go, pass away. Even my wife passed away one day. She said, I'm going to leave. She had a good time for meditation. She said that she was going to on the 2nd of April. I said, no, there is a very big gathering, so don't go on that day. A day later, please. She agreed. Then I went to her after the initiation. Are you ready to go? She said, yes. All right, go. Go smiling. She smiled and left. So I think in worldly affairs, your wife is the nearest relation. Whoever is a companion comes and goes according to the reactions of the past. Thank God, toward the end of your life, that you have been in the sweet remembrance of God. My father, mother, two elder brothers, all left. I wanted to go to them to help them to go back jolly on account of past reactions we have been put together. Thank God, they were in the sweet remembrance of God. They were helped on the way. Even if you know, what can you do? So, why not help your mother go jolly? You have paid off your debt. Your angle of vision is changed. You see, long before I came to my master, my elder brother's wife was quite sick for a long time. Then she recovered. I wrote a letter to my brother. Look here, on the receipt of this letter, be careful. She will go. When he got the letter, he thought, she's quite all right. What is this? And within half an hour, she departed. So, even if you know, what can you do? I think it is better not to know. But if you know when your angle of vision is changed, that's all right. Thank God, I've not shed a tear on the death of my children or brother or father. You think that I have no sympathy? Do you think that if I had had sympathy, that would have helped? This is only a question of give and take. You see, Master winds up all this give and take of his disciples. If you just surrender to him and have been doing Naam, any other questions? Every day you have some subject covered. Question. I was given new life at Hardwar. I was having a heart attack. There was no pulse, and he sat with me for an hour or so, and then the pulse returned. I'm still alive. Master, you are still bound. Master chuckles. It's all his grace. Well, I don't know anything about it. That power works, you see. Question. Why going to Kashmir? I got a heart attack. I usually remain in bed for some days, say about 15 days. I can't move. But Master was there in Kashmir for the whole night. He had taken the whole trouble with him, and I was altogether all right the next morning, and I started to work again. Master, the only thing we can say, as Christ said, thy faith has cured thee. Such like people are not permitted to go to the hills with heart attacks. He was there. So go on with your medications. What a great blessing you have got. With God's grace, of course, I have got some sweets from the West. I want them for you all. Devotee, do you ever take sweets yourself? Master, I'm a man like you. Of course, I don't relish, but I am not against it. Simple diet is better, you see. Devotee, I just see so many people giving sweets to you, and you don't take them. Master, those are offerings. I don't accept offerings. I live on my own earnings. There may be give and take at one or two places, not everywhere. You see, if you accept offerings, that will be debited against you. If they bring, I distribute them. So let me start from the right. No, the left, the negative world, chuckles. you also enjoy and I also enjoy. On behalf of all of you, if I eat, I eat only my own. The 10th Guru said, those who put some food in the mouths of the poor and the needy, they put it into my mouth. Those who clothe others who are naked, they clothe me, because he himself is therein. The next chapter, true meditation. So, when sitting for meditation, the positive way is not to say, no thought should come, no thought should come. The positive way is to put your whole attention into one object of thought. Negative thoughts, negative way of thinking, always has an adverse effect. This is all a feat, as I told you, of attention or surat. True worship is to be wholly, solely devoted to one. This will be developed by regular practice in the accurate way. If you will do it accurately in that way, continually for some days, for an hour, 2 hours, four, five, like that, continuously, naturally. Mind will have the habit. Mind wants bliss, joy, and it will taste that bliss. Mind will not permit you to go that way, because it knows when you get to that blissful state that you will never want to come back to recede from there. So make friends with your mind. Make friendship with your mind. All right, dear friend, wait, we'll do that, what you want, but let us do this for a while. How to explain so that this may be clear? Make friendship with the mind. You want to eat something? All right, we'll give you something to eat, but first for a while, let us do this. Then we'll give you what you want. Do you know in the Bible what Christ says? Wait, Satan, wait. Wait for a while. That means, wait, we'll attend to you. This will help you. Mind wants something to be done. Again, you sit. Again, mind drags you. All right, wait. Friends, I'll be with you. Wait for a while. By repeating the same thing daily, it will turn into habit, and habit will turn into nature. So regularity, the word regularity means not only sitting physically, but sitting wholly and solely. I always use the words wholly and solely, not physically. I never mention physically. Even if you are physically there, you may not be wholly and solely there. The longer you can stay wholly and solely devoted to one object of thought, the more progress will come. Of course, one thing standing in the way is clutching. You become emotional. That very emotion is your ego attention. The longer you can stay there, the better the results will be. When you go out into nature, seeing nature, enjoying, that's all right. There is some power working behind nature. Turn to that power. Then sit down in your meditation. You'll enjoy both outer as well as inner. So the positive way of thinking is always helpful, you see. If you hear, don't look, don't reach the other side, you naturally say, what is the other side? Look wholly and solely into what is in there, and the other side will come. There are very minor things. Doing the same thing is in one way is binding you the same thing in another way relieves you. If your whole attention is devoted to one object, wholly and solely, and you are truly cut off from all the world outside, that is true renunciation. That, what is renunciation? To be cut off from all outside, not leaving hearth and home. You may go to the wilderness, even then you'll have the outside. If your attention is there, so true renunciations follows when you are devoted wholly and solely to one thing. That's a training. That is why it is said, work is worship. You train in this way, then train in the other way. Man learns swimming in water, does he not? So meditation, true meditation, I might further add the word true, is only to be at one point, wholly and slowly, solely. This is a training ground in the worldly things, and it is good. Then go on. Then you'll enjoy more, I tell you. Even outside, also you'll find pleasure in work. Many engagements you will have, that will be the training ground. So true renunciation does not mean leaving hearth, home, and this and that, eat and drink. It is only when you are devoted wholly to one point, when you are absorbed, cut off from all outside, even from your body. So regularly practice will make you an adept in this. Today, you may stay absorbed 2 minutes, then with practice 5 minutes, then half hour. Out of the whole time you sit physically, say for 4 hours, if you are there even for even a half hour, you'll be more successful. So at night, always repose your meditations and lie down, relax. Go into sleep with that very thought of God. Even if you go into sleep, that thought will be reverberating with the circulation of your blood. When you rise in the morning, you'll feel you had been doing this remembrance all through the night. A devotee, but how can we remember Simran in our dreams? Master, that won't come in a day. Dreams and visions are two different things. Dreams come up as a reaction of your uncollected, unregulated thoughts. At the time, you do not remember when you've actually seen what you've actually seen. In the morning, you might have some vague memory of it. It is a dream. When you have a vision, you are conscious at the time. You are talking. You are hearing. You also remember everything. That is not a dream. That is withdrawal from the body. Even in dreams, the withdrawal is from the body. The difference is that in light sleep dreams, you go to the gullet and to the navel. In sound sleep dreams, in that case, when you become empty, you remain conscious. Sleep is there, but you remain conscious. My body sleeps, nor I. Then you have visions and they are true. Sometimes the initiate cannot rise above and he comes down to help him. So those are real. What's the difference? When you see anything, continue looking. That's the only thing. Then that will become clear. That will help you. If you continue like that, you'll be successful in the beginning. When a man learns how to swim, he makes effort. When he becomes proficient, he simply swims with no effort, with one leg here, there, going on like anything. I have been swimming in rivers. I'm very fond of rivers. In the Jhelum River, there was a very big flood. I would just go to the top, and in the middle of the river, I would swim. No fear. It is your own fear that kills you. The water won't let you drown. Only little effort is required. So this comes only when you become an adept. Regularity pays in the accurate way. That's all I can say. Physically sitting at the door and your mind running away on all sides, the four sides of the world, is no meditation. That is why Kabir says, if your body is sitting by God or by the master and you are running away to the outside things, that is no company of the master. Company of the master means when you are wholly and solely there. That sort of absorption will give you more, better effects. You learn more. That is why it is said, an hour of sitting like that with the master will give you more than 100 years of regular penances. Penances are done only to come up to that state. There, you sit by a fire. Otherwise, you are thinking how the fire is made, how we are to strike one stick against the other, how to kindle it. And I come to the end of my time, and I will stop here, and with Master's grace, I would continue reading from here. Today I started with chapter 44 from Light of Kirpal, Death and Protection, and then moved on to chapter 45, True Meditation, which I hope to continue with Master's grace in my next reading. Thank you for your patient listening.
And thank you, Pradeep, for reading Master's gracious words. There were 54 participants at tonight's satsang. Thank you, Master, for bringing us together to strengthen our bonds of loving devotion to you.
When you first withdraw from outside and rise from this iron curtain of the physical body, we see we are not the physical body. There, that Godhood begins to shine within us. We become conscious of it.